The 14th verse of the portion that we read from especially is our text today. But I'll also emphasize the 24th verse. Let's read verse 14 again. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And here's an example of what they prayed in this prayer meeting. And they prayed, verse 24, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. It's a sobering thought to think of those words. He's the Lord which knowest the hearts, not just the outward, that we can so easily portray a good front to others, but he's the God that knows the hearts of all men. That's a sobering thought as we gather today in God's house with his word open in our hands. The 14th verse is our motto text for this new year, as it is an election year, and we want to put great stress, emphasize the importance of that from the very, very beginning of this year, 2016. And this is an election portion. In fact, it could be described as the first election that is recorded for us in the Word of God in the New Testament church. So the words of verse 14, I pray you'll take them to heart. I pray they'll be characteristic of this church this year. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I want to stress, brethren and sisters, to you, the need for prayer, especially as we're thinking of the election of office bearers that is to take place at the beginning of the month of June. I want to say to you that prayer is vital in that regard. It is something that will make all the difference as far as the outcome of that election is concerned. And I want to impress upon you, and I want to encourage you today, that you need to take the time to pray about it. You need to take time in the closet. You need to take time to get alone with the Lord yourself, to ask the Lord for guidance when it comes to that night, when it comes to the voting, comes to the election itself. You need to pray earnestly. Give appropriate time to seeking the Lord to know his mind. And I want to point out, if you don't pray, brethren and sisters, and I'm seeking by bringing the message to you, this particular message, at the very beginning of the year, to give you plenty of warning, to prepare you well in advance. But I want to point out that if you don't pray about the matter, don't set time aside to pray, you'll not be properly prepared to vote that night. It's a serious matter. It's not just a case of turning up and carelessly, casually, thoughtlessly, putting a score beside some names or circling the names of some members of the congregation. If you're going to be properly prepared to be voted for yourself and to cast your own vote on that night, then here's something that needs to be given a great priority. You may talk to your family, and you may talk to your friends, you may talk to other members of the congregation about the election and to get their thoughts and to get their mind, and I know that all of that takes place. But here's the important thing, men and women. In fact, it would have to be described as the all-important thing. The all-important thing is that you talk to the Lord about the election and about who you're going to vote for, who's going to have your vote cast in their favor. You see, here in Acts chapter 1, the church is at prayer. I want to underline for you, the first thing the New Testament church did was to pray. Remember, it's just after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. He's ascended back to heaven. And the first thing the New Testament church did was to give themselves to prayer. And there's a great lesson for us in that, brethren and sisters. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, whatever we do, not even taking into account the fact of an election, but in the Church of Jesus Christ, whatever we do, there's nothing more important than prayer. And there's nothing more, no meeting. Always remember that. There's no meeting more important than the prayer meeting. If you read down this chapter again, and I encourage you to do that, I encourage you to memorize the motto text as well. But if you read down this portion, you will find here is a church praying before an election. That's what the closing verses of the chapter is all about. An election to replace Judas in the apostolic band. So here's a church praying before an election, and they're praying for that election. That they're praying about it, that the Lord would give them guidance. And I want to underline for you, brethren and sisters, that we need to do the same. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to be in prayer, much in prayer, this year, with that great election night in view. There are three things in particular I'll stress to you that we need to pray about in an election year, and as an election approaches. And I pray the Lord will help you to take these in your heart this morning. Three things in particular you need to pray about. You need to pray, first of all, for clarity. Clarity. You may be uncertain. So we enter into 2016. You may be uncertain about who you should actually vote for. It may be the case that you're facing a dilemma. You're not sure what to do. There's a struggle that's going on in your heart. You can't decide. You can't settle your heart and your mind upon those that you should actually vote for. You need to pray for clarity, brethren and sisters. You need to pray that the Lord will show you. And remember, He's the right one. In fact, He's the only one to show you. There's other people who will want to tell you what you should do. But remember, you need to pray and ask the Lord to show you clearly what you should do. That's the best way, men and women. That's the biblical, the scriptural approach to an election such as we will be having later in the year. So you pray the Lord will show you clearly who you should actually choose. And I want to assure you that if you pray in that manner, that He will answer that prayer. Remember the great promise. The Savior said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Think of Acts 1 here as an example, verse 24 that we stressed. The prayer of the early church was simply this. Show, reveal to us, Lord, make known. Show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. The church was praying for guidance. It says they cast their lots. The idea is that every one of them cast a vote. Every member of the church had a vote when Judas was being replaced. They cast their lots. But before they cast their votes, they got down and sought the Lord in prayer. They were earnest about it. And remember, if I could take the time to highlight it for you again, they were 10 days in prayer. 10 days from the ascension to the day of Pentecost. So they were very serious about seeking the face of God. Really what we have here is just a summary of the prayer meetings, a summary of who was there, a summary of the main petitions that they made. And one of the main petitions that the church offered was, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. Lord, who's your man? Who's your man for the job? Who's the one whose heart you can look down upon? You're the only one that can see the hearts of men. Lord, show to us the man that is the right heart. Show to us the right man for this position. And the Lord gave them guidance. The Lord answered their prayer. And Matthias was chosen. You think of the Old Testament scripture, Samuel, the prophet in the home of Jesse. The Lord had sent them there looking for a king. For Israel to replace King Saul. And the Lord made clear to Samuel who should be chosen. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that was walking with God, communing with God. And the Lord said to that man of prayer, this is he. When young David came in that day and stood before them, after all the other brothers had come in and Samuel was impressed with their appearance and their physique, their strength. But the Lord said of young David, this is he. And the Lord will do the same for you. If you pray as Samuel prayed, if you keep in communion before the Lord, he'll speak to you in exactly the same way. And when that night comes, the Lord will have said to you, this is he. These are the men that I want you to vote for. Think of the church at Antioch. They ministered to the Lord and they fasted. Think of that. Ministered and fasted. So they were really giving themselves to the matter of prayer. They'd been earnestly in prayer. And here's what the Lord said to them. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The lesson is, men and women, if you pray, the Lord gives clarity of direction. If you pray about an election, if you pray about choosing the right men for the job, the Lord will give you the clarity that you need. In fact, from those examples that I have cited to you, he can give you the very names of the men. Was not the case? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. The Lord can give you the very names of the men that he wants put into office. So remember the great promises of God's word for guidance. The psalmist said, he'll teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou should go. We should pray, brethren and sisters, as the psalmist did, teach me thy way, O Lord. Direct my paths. Direct my footsteps. So that's the first thing that we should pray for. We need to pray for clarity. I want to mention to you as well the need to pray for unity, brethren and sisters. Can I stress to you that as a congregation we need to pray unitedly. Remember that this was a church prayer meeting. So they were gathered together collectively, praying unitedly. They prayed together about this matter. And I want to urge you to do the same. I want to urge you as the new year begins, make it one of your new year resolutions that you'll purpose in your heart. You're going to be at the prayer meetings, all of the prayer meetings of the church, as often as you can. As I've said to you already, that is vital preparation for you taking part in an election night. You might say, well, I can pray at home. And you can, and you should. I've stressed that already. The need for you to get into the closet. That's good, brethren and sisters. That's commendable. We'd want to encourage that. But notice that here, men and women, as well as praying at home, and I'm sure they did that, they prayed unitedly. They came together and they met together to pray in a collective manner. So the New Testament sets us the example that appropriate preparation for casting a vote in an election, in a church election, is being at the prayer meeting, being gathered together to pray. And also, can I emphasize to you, it's very important to pray, and for us all to pray as a church, for unity in this election. Do you remember the words of the psalmist? How good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. May that be so of this church this year, right through it. May that be so of this church, particularly with regard to this election. May it be good. May it be pleasant. May it be something that is unified in all that takes place. Let me emphasize just a couple of matters as we're thinking about unity. Pray that the Lord will give us unity and choice. If there's not unity when it comes to the vote, men and women, what will happen is this. We may not be successful in the election that night. That's a reality. If the vote is split, and often it is, then we may not get any elders elected, any new elders that night. And I emphasize the elders particularly for this reason. Under the presbytery procedures, to be elected to the eldership, a man needs to get 51% of all the votes cast on that night. To be elected to the committee It's just those with the highest number of votes. The voting procedure is different. So if the vote is split, particularly when we're thinking of the eldership, we may not get any men elected at all. That does happen. And that, brethren and sisters, would not be good. It certainly wouldn't be good for the church. So pray that as members, we will be united, especially in the matter of the choice that is made. There's a statement that you often find in the Bible. It's very instructive. That those little words as one man, things that they did as one man. In the book of Nehemiah, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They gathered as one man on that occasion in Nehemiah 8 to hear the word of God, what we have been emphasizing today already. And here's what I want to encourage you to pray, brethren and sisters, that the communicant member of this church will vote as one man. That the decision that will be made that night will be a decision that is clear, a decision that is decisive, a decision that will be such that nobody will have any doubt about it. You think of the book of Acts. It says they were all with one accord in one place. What a sweet thing that is. And pray, brethren and sisters, when it comes to the voting that night, that that'll be so of us. We'll all be of one accord. So we need to pray for unity in the choice. And we need to pray too, over these next few months and beyond, that there'll be unity in the church. Pray that this election doesn't cause division in this congregation. Remember, the devil would like to cause trouble. Those words of Moses and Joshua coming down from Mount Sinai, a noise of war in the camp. That's only too prevalent, brethren and sisters, in our congregations and beyond, in every church nearly across the land. The devil would want to cause trouble. The devil would want to split the work. Remember, the devil is subtle. He'll want to sow discord. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So here's what I want to encourage you to pray. The election will pass off peacefully. Don't you sometimes hear that in countries there where there's terrorism and the fear of violence? Pray that the election will pass off peacefully. Well, we need to pray that in the church too. Pray it'll pass off quietly. Pray there'll be no trouble. Here's a prayer that you can make your personal petition. Lord, don't let me be a cause of trouble in this church and at this time of election. We need to pray, brethren and sisters, or what we really want, and we need to pray about it, is the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May God give us that unity. You think of Paul and Barnabas, two great men of God, in fact, probably two of the greatest that the New Testament church ever had. And remember, they fell out. The devil split them up. The devil split up that great missionary team. The Bible says that contention was so sharp among them. Just think of that. Two men of God fighting, contention. The sharpness of the contention. There was a big row, and the result was they parted company. What did they fall out over? Just think of that question. What did those two great men of God fall out over? Choosing a co-worker. They didn't agree about who should be on the missionary team with them. There's a warning there, men and women, very clear warning. If men like Paul and Barnabas could fall out over a matter like this, it could so easily happen even among us here in this church. Pray it doesn't happen. Pray for clarity. Pray the Lord will give us unity. And one other thing I'll mention through this year. Pray for maturity. Maturity in your Christian life and in your walk with God. Sometimes children grow old, but they don't grow up. And that is true with God's children too. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, had to talk about those who were still babes, long after they'd been converted, many years after they'd come to Christ. Pray for maturity. And I say that for this reason, men and women. The reality that you will need to face and that you will need to give some thought to is this. The fact that there will be men in this church who will be passed over on that election night. There will be men who will be disappointed when the results are read out. Those who will hope to be in office. Those who perhaps will hope to be on the Kirk session and the eldership of the church. And you will not. The vote will not go in your favour. And the question, men and women, that you need to consider, and consider it now all these weeks and months before, is this. How will you react whenever that happens? And I put that question not just to the men. I put it to the wives as well. Because sometimes it's the ladies that cause the biggest trouble when the results of these things are made known. How will you react when that happens? That's when you need to pray, men and women, for maturity in the Christian life. That's when you need to pray that God will give you grace, abundant grace as a child of God. Grace to be able to say when you hear the results that night, the will of the Lord be done. You know, there's an old saying, it takes more grace than one can tell to play the second fiddle well. And that's the sort of grace you need to pray for as a child of God. You think again of Barnabas and Saul in better days. Did you ever notice in the scriptures that the order changes? First of all, it's Barnabas and Saul, and then it becomes Saul and Barnabas. Then he becomes Paul. But in the later chapters, the latter chapters, Paul is the one whose name comes first. What actually happened, men and women, was this. Paul came to the fore. Paul became the leader of the missionary team. And Barnabas encouraged that. Remember that? Barnabas supported Paul being the leader, coming to the fore. And Barnabas encouraged that even though he was longer in the work. He had been saved long before Paul. He had been prominent in the church even before Saul of Tarsus came to Christ. Remember, he had been longer in the church, but he had the grace and the discernment to see that God was at work, that Paul was God's man, that God's hand was in it, and he was willing to encourage and willing to support that. And the reality, men and women, is you may find yourself in exactly the same position. Someone else in this church may get into office, may be voted an elder before you do. And the attitude that Barnabas showed towards Paul is the attitude that you need to pray for if that should be the case come the month of June. Can I point out, men and women, many good men will be chosen for office. There's not a doubt about that. Many capable men found in this congregation. But in many respects, it takes a better man not to be chosen. It takes more maturity. It takes more grace. It takes more character, more humility to accept that. And to accept it in a way that it doesn't affect your walk with God. To accept it in a way that you still carry on with God. And you'll still carry on with the work and the witness of this church. That's why I suggest from experience in the past, men and women, that's why I suggest and I guide you today. Pray for maturity. Sure, you'll be disappointed. Sure, there'll be pain. There'll be hurt. There will be discouragement. We recognize and accept all of those things. But here's the word of caution, men and women. Don't let your disappointment, if that be the case, don't let it hinder your walk. Don't let it hinder your service for Christ. Remember, if you're not chosen, you'll not be on your own. You think of Acts 1 again, our passage this morning. Two men, their names were put forward. Joseph was not chosen. In a sense, he was rejected by the church at this election. Think of how he must have felt that night. But think of the maturity that he showed in the things of God. Think of Acts 6. The multitude of the disciples had increased and so on. But only 7 were chosen to be deacons. Only 7. Many were not elected. Many were not appointed. So I want you to see that you'll not be on your own. But you need to consider the possibility of that. You need to consider the possibility that you may be among those who are not elected to office come that night. Need to be aware of it. Need to be ready for it. And from this early stage, you need to pray about it. And don't allow it to cause you to be bitter. The bitterness that can creep in and that can eat you and can destroy you. Don't allow it to be a cause for anger. Those are things, men and women, that as God's people we need to guard against. And remember, can I emphasize, and I couldn't emphasize this enough, if you're not put into office come the second night of June, that does not mean that you're not wanted. Understand that. It does not mean that you're not a valued member of this church. It does not mean that you're not needed as far as the future work and witness of this congregation is concerned. And I say that for these reasons. I'll mention them quickly to you as I finish. I want you to think of these things, that if you're not chosen, then what you have to accept is this, for one thing, it's not the Lord's will for you to be in office. And can I ask you, would you want to be in office? Would you want to be anywhere if it's not the will of God for your life? And what I want to urge you to do is to accept God's will, whatever it may be, men and women. And don't be self-willed. Because remember, a person that's self-willed is not suitable for office. That's what Titus tells us, one of the characteristics that we're to look out for is for men suitable for the eldership is they're not self-willed. So if you're not chosen, accept that it's not the will of God for you. And remember too, if you're not chosen, maybe it's not the Lord's time for you to be in office. Do you remember the Savior said, thinking of the cross, mine hour has not yet come. And maybe the same is true of you. Your hour has not yet come. Maybe you need a wee bit more time. Maybe you need a wee bit more experience. Maybe you need a wee bit more training and preparation. Maybe you need a wee bit more time just to prove yourself, your commitment, your faithfulness before the congregation. Not the Lord's time. A third thing you need to think about as we're thinking of maturity, thinking of not being chosen, is maybe the Lord will open another door. If God closes one door to us, he generally opens another door of opportunity, another door of service. And if the Lord closes this door to you, maybe he will have something else. Perhaps, and it is often the case, the Lord might have something better for you to do in his work and in his service. And what you need to do is ask the Lord to show that to you, to reveal it. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And a fourth and final thing I'll mention, if you're not chosen, something you need to consider, a very important thing you need to consider, is maybe the Lord's testing you. We talked a little last week about examinations. Remember, sometimes the Lord does test us as his people. Remember at the feeding of the 5,000, And the Lord was speaking to Philip, and he was talking about the great multitude and what are we going to do? Where are we going to find bread to feed so many? And here's what the scripture says. This he said to prove him. The Lord was putting him to the test through those circumstances. Do you remember Abraham, when the Lord spoke to him about taking Isaac to Mount Moriah? And it says the Lord tempted, or as the book of Hebrews shows us, it's the Lord tried him. The Lord was testing Abraham, his character, his faithfulness. And I want you to see, men and women, that God may test you. Test your attitude. Test your reaction that night by not being chosen, maybe to one or other of the offices of the church. He may test your faithfulness. He may want to test you to see if you will still be faithful to him, if you will still be faithful to the church, even if you're not appointed to one of the offices of the congregation. So those are some things. When you're thinking about Christian maturity and praying about maturity and the mature way for a Christian to face an election and to react to the results of that election, especially if you're not chosen, think of those things, not the Lord's will, not the Lord's time. The Lord might open another door, a better door. And through those things, the Lord's maybe testing your attitude of heart. We have read and emphasized he's the God that knows the hearts of all men. And he might want to test the attitude of your heart. Mr. Cook, when we were in the class, he used to always ask the same question to every student when they preached before the class. How do you think you got on? And his reason, his motive for doing that was he wanted to see the man's attitude. He wanted to see whether he was big-headed, full of himself, or whether he was approaching with a meek and a humble spirit. And sometimes the Lord brings us through things to test our attitude of heart too. So praying for an election, brethren and sisters, it's vital. Take these words to heart. The importance of it could not be stressed enough. To pray for clarity, the Lord will give it to you. To pray that there'll be unity in the vote and in the church. And to pray that the Lord will give us all maturity, Christian maturity, to accept as his will whatever the outcome of that night may be. I'll say this to you in closing. That election, men and women, is only 5 months away. Today is the 3rd of January, the night in the will of God we'll meet to vote is the 2nd day of June. It's only 5 months away. That shows the urgency of prayer. The urgency that there is to be in prayer. For you to be praying privately and for you to be praying publicly for God's hand to be upon all that will take place. Here's words from God to guide us through this election year. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. May God bless his word to our hearts today. 632, two verses.